Dear beloved of God, grace and peace are yours this day, in the name of our crucified and risen Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. All right, how many of you remember the amazing world of flannel boards and flannel graph? Anybody? Okay, good. The more hands have been going up as the morning has gone along. We have fewer kids who were born in the internet age in worship at 11 o'clock. But for those of you that missed out on this beautiful technology, let me share with you a little bit how it works. It was a quintessential part of my Sunday school experience growing up. The flannel graph blended simplicity and storytelling magic. There were these felt-backed boards that would transform Bible stories into visual adventures. You would take these cutout characters that were often drawn or designed with comically stiff expressions, and they were gently pressed onto this piece of flannel that would allow your Sunday school teacher to act out all of the Bible's greatest hits. It was so low-tech, but it was earnest. Teachers would narrate with gusto while they were repositioning Moses or sheep or baby Jesus in the manger on this piece of flannel, and all of a sudden they would have to struggle to keep the pieces from sliding off, so they'd slap their hands on the board and like try and hold it as they're telling the story. And the kids that were watching would just start giggling when the figures would fall and be stuck in odd places. I loved the flannel graph. The stories felt safe and fun and accessible. And I have this really vivid memory of watching today's Bible story from Exodus being lovingly reenacted by Anita. Anita was a dear woman from my childhood congregation. She was amazing, and when she would teach this story, it felt sweet and gentle and tender, almost like a lullaby. But this story is anything but a lullaby. It's a story of violence. It's a story about what happens when fear takes hold of those who are in power and the steps that they take to keep that power and the sneaky and subversive ways that those who seem to be powerless work to protect and preserve and encourage life to thrive. You remember how we got to this point in the story? Pharaoh commanded the Hebrew midwives to do a terrible thing. He told them to kill the boys as they are born and let the girls thrive. Why? Because the Israelites had grown too numerous, and he was afraid. But the Hebrew midwives, who were named Shipra and Puah, were clever. They said, "Sorry, Pharaoh, the Hebrew women are strong, they're vigorous, and by the time we get there to help with the delivery, it's already over. The boys and the girls are loose in the world, so we can't execute the law that you've imposed." But the king wasn't about to be stopped by two midwives, so he enlists more people. He broadens the net. He says, "Anyone who is willing to do something, anyone who is willing to help with this problem, every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall throw them into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live." And the curious thing is, it's not Pharaoh or his minions that provide the ultimate shape to today's story. It's first a mother. We don't learn her name. She gives birth to a son and sees that he's a fine child. But more than that, she sees his worth, his beauty. And as every mother does, she wants to see him live. So she hides him. For 3 months, she risks everything to protect him. Every cry that that child makes could have been a death sentence. Every knock at the door could have been an end. But this mother chooses courage over compliance. She chooses life over the law. And when she can hide him no longer, she takes another risk. She places him in a basket and sets him afloat on the very river that was meant to be his grave. She places him in the Nile, which Pharaoh intended as a place of death. Could this river possibly become a place of deliverance? She doesn't give up. She entrusts her son to the mercy of God and the possibility of compassion. Then comes Moses' sister, Miriam. She stands at a distance watching. She's a child herself, but not powerless. She's alert, she's ready, she's present. And when Pharaoh's daughter finds this baby, Miriam steps forward with boldness and a wisdom beyond her years. She says, "Shall I go and get a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse this child for you?" She's not just watching what unfolds. She plays a part in the orchestra of life and salvation. And then, perhaps the most unexpected character of all, Pharaoh's daughter. She's a part of the royal household, a part of the system that issued this death decree. She looks at the child and she can see that he's a Hebrew. She knows what her father has commanded. And yet she is moved with compassion. She defies the law of the land. She adopts this child. And her defiance guarantees that Moses will live. Three women, each one in their own way, subvert the law. Each one finds a way to say no to death. Each one chooses life at great risk. Each one plays a part in God's life-giving work to deliver not just Moses, but an entire people. I think there's something in that practice of telling stories, even with simple things like flannel graph. Sure, those felt figures seemed gentle, and the storytelling was sweet. But behind those soft edges, we encountered fierce women, bold choices, and a God who works through quiet resistance of ordinary people. This is a story that reminds us that God's deliverance doesn't usually begin with huge displays of power. Instead, it almost always starts with quiet, almost hidden acts of courage. A mother who hides her child, a sister who watches and speaks, a woman of power who chooses compassion over compliance. And maybe that's the invitation for us today, to be a little bit more like Moses' mom, who risked everything to preserve hope. To be a little bit more like Miriam, who stayed present and spoke up. To be a little bit like Pharaoh's daughter, who let compassion override fear. Because this world and God's people still need deliverance. And God is still working through those who choose life, who resist death-dealing systems, who dare to believe that the river meant for drowning can somehow become a river of salvation. So might we be flannel graph people, not because we're soft, but because we are storytellers of God's fierce, tender, and life-giving grace that is for you and me and this whole world, now and always. Amen.